Blog Talk Radio.
Tis the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his goodness. He is holy. He is high. He is set apart. So we sing to him.
Brothers, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you taking the opportunity to listen to the program. You received this text to your phone, the link to your phone, or if you went on the Facebook page of Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you're on the link and you listen to the program this episode, we appreciate you. I pray that you all is well with you and your family, and I ask you to continue to support, listen in, and be encouraged by the conversation that we're having here and what we're talking about, that we can all be able to sow into each other's lives and encourage one another. Amen? Because we know we're coming back. We're moving forward. We're moving through this season of COVID and church shutdowns, and we're starting to open back up. And again, if you're a men's group, you received this link from me from your text. If your men's group's getting together, or you know of a men's Bible study, or a men's group is coming together for prayer, fellowship, and the study of the Word, please let me know. We can spread the news, spread it out, and let people, let brothers know that men are gathering again back together. Amen. Hopefully, coming in the new year of 2022, we're going to get back. We're going to gather again. We're going to do man-up events, and we're going to start to, again, gather together and encourage one another. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, this episode, we're going to continue talking about the theme for this month. It was in John chapter 14 and 15, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And keeping the commandments of Jesus is something we are called to do. You know, all the word that Jesus spoke in the scripture, where he commanded us to do certain things, and who we are and how our character is shaped as we are new creatures in Christ, and we're being regenerated. We have a new heart, a new mind, and we want to live a life that's abiding and obedient to him. Amen. Because in all of what we're doing as Christian men in this walk, we want to stand before him at the end of this natural life on this earth. If it would be 30, 25, 50, 80, 100 years to spend eternity with him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And the way we get to that place is through our obedience every day on earth and applying the word of God to our lives, examining ourselves. Amen. So I got to, we bring some of the brothers on tonight. We're going to touch on a couple of these commands and just get an understanding and get, hopefully, and be encouraged by it. Amen. Amen. So first, let me open in prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. And I have an announcement, too, I want to share with the brothers, because we're in the month of October right now, events coming up. But let's pray. Father God, I say thank you. Father, I thank you for all that you are and all that you're doing, Lord God. Father, I come to you with a heart of gratitude, God, just thanking you for this day, for this week, for this year, oh God. And Father, I thank you for what's about to come and what's about to happen in the lives of your people and of your men, Lord God. Father, I lift up every husband, father, and son today, oh God. You know the needs, you know the desires of their hearts. You know their struggles, you know their trials, their temptations. You know what's going on in every man's heart and soul today, oh God. So Father, I ask that you would touch them, God. The Holy Spirit that lives within them, God, for the believer, God, stir it up in them, oh God. Give them guidance and direction, wisdom and discernment, God, that they may be strengthened, God, to live for you, God, and be the light and salt you called us to be in this culture. We ask for a blessing over our families, oh God, over wives and children, oh God, and grandchildren, our bloodlines, oh God. And Father, we pray for the church, the body of Christ, God, the visible and the invisible body, Lord God, that God, that we will be the church, God, that we start to be those a particular people, God, a royal priesthood, God, and live out the call that you have on each of our lives and the purpose, God, we are created. So I thank you, I praise you, I give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I also wanted to share something that's coming up at the end of the month, October the 30th. Sister for Sisters, Inc. is a love movement. And it's connected with the Alliance of Concerned Men, and it's dealing with domestic violence. This is the ministry that from a sister I connected with named Carolyn White Washington. And they're having their 16th annual Silent Tears No More Breakfast, Domestic Violence Prayer Breakfast and Fundraiser. And that's on Saturday, October the 30th. This is going to be a virtual event. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, you'll see the flyer on the Facebook page there. You'll see it on Twitter. And you'll see it around in a lot of different places. But and I specifically have it, and I've sent it to some people to encourage them because I wanted them to support it. Because the particularly for this year, because I am personally being honored as a 2021 Love Cares honoree myself, is being honored at this breakfast. So I just wanted to encourage that you would support, come out. It's going to be a virtual. It's going to be live on Facebook. It's going to be a they plan a fashion show. It says Survivors Rock the Runway. There's going to be the Love Cares Award, which I'm an honoree. Also, there's going to be a sacred candle lighting dinner for survivors and victims of domestic violence. Because we all know, some may not know, but the month of October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this sister's been doing does work all throughout the year in mentoring, teaching, going into the community, teaching about domestic violence, supporting victims of domestic violence through shelters and finding safe places, and then engaging in the knowledge and understanding of what it means, that it's not all physical, some of it is emotional, some of it is spiritual, some of it is financial. So there's a lot of things that over the years I've learned myself, even in that. And also one of the things that we have to do as men, we have to be aware, to understand that domestic violence is not a woman's thing. It's a people thing. It's a family thing. For some of us out there, we know, we've seen it, we lived through it. It's called a lot of things, because that's one of those dirty little secrets. And also for the body of Christ, stuff goes on in the church, you know, because over the years that I've been participating with this, I hear a lot of church folk who have these issues. And because, unquote, the spouse is involved in leadership, these things never come out to years later, and you wonder why. You hear about, you know, pastors and elders and deacons and all kinds of folk in leadership, their marriages breaking up, and this is some of the behind the scenes, behind the curtain stuff that we don't talk about in the church. Amen? But if we can't be an example, then how else do we expect to be able to affect the world and be able to speak life into these situations? But again, that's the Silent Tears No More Domestic Violence Prayer Breakfast and Fundraiser. That's Saturday, October the 30th, online. It's going to be Facebook Live and Zoom Live. It's going to be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also, if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see the link for the flyer. We're asking for donations. It is a fundraiser, and the donation for the tickets are $25. And if you would, if you consider that, we ask that you also would support that and pray. It's all going to be well. Amen? So that's a whole event, again, for the month of October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Amen, brothers. Amen. All right. Tonight, we want to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk again. We're talking about Jesus and the commandments, the things that he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And some of the things that I want to touch on today, because we all know, everyone thinks about when we say with Jesus' commandments, and we go into this whole conversation that we're not under the law, we don't keep the commandments, but that tells me, I'm going to say it nice. We need to study the Word of God more, because Jesus has given us direction from his own mouth. If we need to read and study what he is saying and where he's saying, because he's given us direction on how we are to be throughout the Gospels and through Paul and through Peter, in shaping and forming our character that we are renewed in Christ and our thinking and how we treat one another, how we treat our families. Amen? Amen. Hold on. Can you hear me click in here? Brother Deacon Lee, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord, sir.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, bro. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Everything is well, man. Everything is well. It's almost Friday. Because, you know, we can keep it moving. But, amen, it's almost Friday, and then the weekend gives us new challenges. So we're waiting on
that
too. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Brian, we talked about this a lot, but we want to talk about it tonight on the show and just give some clarity, give some insight, and then, you know, application to what we're reading. The two commands I want to talk about what Jesus taught during his earthly ministry to the disciples and us as his disciples, that some of the things he's called us to be and do and to live. The first one I want to touch on and get your thoughts and insight, and we're going to talk about it, hash it, reason it out, chop it up, whatever. It's about being reconciled. And then we come in from Matthew chapter 5, which we know is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it says, mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23 and 25, and I'm going to read it here real quick. It's going to go, therefore, if you bring any gift to the altar, and there's remembrance that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there any gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift to God. Amen. That was a short paraphrase. That was a short paraphrase, brothers. Don't tell me I didn't want to misquote scripture. I was using a short paraphrase. We'll touch on and break it down. Go down a little in a couple minutes. I'm gonna go get the whole scripture. But we all heard it. We've heard about what it means to be reconciled and reconciling back to one another. And this scripture particularly is talking about how we are to reconcile. How we are to reconcile with each other in our relationship one to another. And when we go into the presence of God, we need to search ourselves and examine ourselves in our relationships with the brethren. You know, because the Bible says, how can you love me and you can't love, you love the God that you can see, but you cannot love the brother that you see every day, every week, you know, the people you live with in your house. So we ought to be called to be reconciled back as one of God's commandments. What do you say, bro? What does that look like, and how do we apply this word?
Well, you know, all things got to be done in Christ and through the Holy Spirit. The thing is that, you know, when Christ gives you something or a command, we have to take it as if it's, you know, priority. I think that's where we get out of our own self as far as our feelings, our emotions, and what actually happened to us with between our brother or sister in Christ, or even a person outside of that, and how to deal with it and how to respond. Because ultimately, we're here to bring God glory. And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and you're not in tune with God's word, the response that you give towards your brother or sister will definitely be out of the flesh, first of all, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that some things or things that happen to us don't make us angry. Because just like when Jesus Christ was in the temple, the things that they were doing made him angry, okay? But it doesn't mean that that was an act to say that their salvation wouldn't be available to them if they repented, you know? So the thing with us, by being in Christ and being his, you know, sons or daughters of God, we have to address things to where God is glorified, and we are basically denying ourselves to make sure that we follow his will and obey what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Now, when you reconcile anything, it's the action of basically making one to restore a friendly relationship or to restore something that was broken based off of what happened, okay? Now, we know that we are to, you know, because we can't bring those things into the presence of God, or we can't act out certain things and call ourselves the sons of God, because there's a lot of things that the world models right now and a lot of churches model, where they say, okay, yeah, you know, we're believers, we do this, we do that. Yet they always show how many differences they have with other churches, how many differences that make them angry as far as traditions, religions, et cetera. And those things don't bear any fruit from the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. You know, so it's basically you're misleading a lot of people by how you act towards someone else. And even the person that doesn't know Christ, by your response to them, could lead them to Christ. So we got to be very careful about, you know, disagreements and things that make us angry to a point where it separates us from even possibly restoring a relationship or even forgiving the person for what it was done to you or what you may have done to them. So, you know, the first thing that we really have to do is establish what relationship we have with this person, or in our hearts, like you said, examine ourselves. Because the more that we examine ourselves to get it right with Christ, the Holy Spirit will begin to give us what to say and how to act. And, you know, I've noticed this a lot of times in my own walk. So what I noticed that I always, instead of, you know, me coming at the person in anger or talking about the situation in a way to stir up anger, okay, I understand that the Holy Spirit at that point is convicting me because of how I may act or what I may be thinking that doesn't apply to the Word of God or to what He has commanded me to do, okay? So the Holy Spirit is going to convict us first. That's number one.
Yes.
And during that conviction, we shouldn't use that as an opportunity to vent to God about our problems or complain about what's happening to us. But that's an opportunity for Him to purge some things that's on the inside of us so that He can be glorified through us, okay? So when we're convicted, at that point of conviction, we need to take the information, and sometimes He either do it in a quiet place or you may be driving to work before you even get to the person. Because, you know, sometimes the enemy will use that issue that you have with your brother or sister, and he'll stir it up, and next thing you know, you'll be talking out loud in the car on the way to work complaining. Like, as soon as I see him, man, I can't believe it. You know, I just don't understand, man. Now I got to see him again today. He's going to say this. He's going to say that. So you already making provisions for the flesh, okay? And in
right.
that moment, if we be quiet, because sometimes, a lot of times, it's not really what we prepare for as far as, you know, how to respond. We need to actually understand before we respond. We listen to understand, not listen to respond. You see, a lot of times people listen so they can respond to something that was said to them or done to them, okay? But we need to listen and understand. Then the Holy Spirit will give us what to respond to. Because, see, our listening and to the Holy Spirit or listening to the person or the individual or examining what happened and, you know, how we can make it better or work together, instead, we look for opportunities for us to roll out with a whole bunch of scriptures or with a whole bunch of this, because now it's been built up. And now we just blast it on the person. And it's like, yeah, I showed them. I told them in the word. I told them, well, see, the ground wasn't prepared for you to do all of that. So you planting seeds that's not falling on good ground because it's not coming from a place where the Holy Spirit is instructing you to do so. So we really got to be careful and have that self-examination. And when that conviction comes in, the Holy Spirit will begin to give us what to say. What do you say about that, D?
Amen. So, you know, you're right. You started off good, you know, because, again, we cannot reconcile ourselves back to folk unless we are submitted to the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Because, again, the Holy Spirit is our guide, our director. He's gonna show us the path. He's going to guide us through this walk. Because we can't do it in our own flesh, like you said. Our flesh, it'll start talking to us, like you said, in the car. It'll start talking to us and getting us ready. Because we're meditating on the past offense, and now we're meditating on that thing, and it's festering in our spirit because we haven't really forgiven. We may have forgiven with a lip service, but we really have forgiven in our heart. And that's the other thing, brothers, that we have to understand. This is about a heart condition. Are we in our heart in a place where we want to be reconciled? We want to, again, are we looking to obey and submit unto Christ and to the Holy Spirit? Because that's where it all begins when we talk about reconciliation and being reconciled back. And now the other part of this, I want to touch on the brothers, you know, because I want to make sure we hit this, because our prayers are hindered. Our communion with God is we're unfit. Just think about it. We come in with these odds and these issues one to another, and yet we want to go to a righteous and just and loving God and pray and try and praise, worship, and then a lot of us, we still asking for stuff. But we have an art. We live in a lie when it comes to our brothers in Christ or our family. I want to make sure I touch this too. It's about our families, our wives, our children. You know, we have to also, again, when we talk about examining ourselves, we have to be in a place where we are reflecting and are we laboring for reconciliation? Because, again, I think we have to understand it is a heart thing, and we have to be mindful to always search our heart and see where we are when it comes to these relationships, because it's going to hinder. It's going to really hinder our prayer. Amen? Amen. Brothers, first of all, I see a couple of brothers on the line. First, let me thank you for joining us and calling in. If you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. And I encourage you again to think about these things, because we all have to be able to think about these things. And now for us, as men of God, as husbands and fathers, as leaders in the community, are we going to be in a place where now we can be able to mentor and show our children, be the example for our children and also for, you know, those around us that we are responsible for. That, again, because as we know, we all know that there's folk that's watching us and how we respond to things. Even when we get into these conflict with other folk, there's people who see that, and I think that's one of the other things we have to get in the place that we have to be able to come and reconcile, forgive, apologize the same way we got into the conflict. You see what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to go home and you pray, oh, God, I'm going to be reconciled with them. I'll send them a secret message. But you blew up, you went off on this person, and there was an audience. And we have to, as men, we have to have an audience when we humble ourselves. We have to have that same audience prayerfully when we're trying to reconcile, ask forgiveness, or mend those fences and those issues. So we have to be mindful of that too. But the biggest thing I want to come back to and ask you is you know, how the separation, because that's the biggest thing we should be concerned about as men of God, as Christians, that it separates us from, are we true, the scripture says, I got to think where it is, that our prayers are hindered, that God's not going to hear our prayers because we're unfit to go before him. Because that's what the scripture's telling us. It says, put your gift, put your offering down, and go and fix these relationships, these one-on-one, these temporal relationships with the people that we are living with on the earth right now, that we see every day, that we engaged in, part of our church, part of our family, our jobs, our community, you know, our neighbor. And I think that's something every man, we have to be able to, you know, because things are going to happen, and we may get off onto whatever, for whatever reason. But then we have to be able to recognize. And I think that, and the last thing, I'm going to come back to you right now, bro, is we also have to understand, do we have people in our life who's going to pull us up when they witness it? And are we a person who, when we see a brother go left on a situation, are we going to go and remind them, yo, this is what I heard, and I think you need to consider what happened, because sometimes we have blind spots and we don't see everything, and that's why it's important to have a circle of men around you, be in a community, a church, as I always talk about, brothers, you can't walk this walk alone, and be in a community of believers who we looking out for one another, and we helping and encouraging one another. What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, that's the thing. It's like if we don't have somebody to, you know, just like David had Nathan, you know, but if we don't have someone to hold us accountable, you know, I think you and I talked about this before. I think a lot of church hurt is misconstrued with accountability, because a person can assume that the way that we may come off to a brother is, and sometimes it's not, you know, it depends on where that brother is spiritually in his walk, to where you could actually hurt him versus encourage him to do the right thing. And, you know, we may see some things, and, you know, like you said, it is some blind spots, but we may see some things that we notice about a brother or a sister in Christ don't want to leave them out either. But necessarily, as far as just talking to men, we need sometimes, or we need to basically be in a place where we are humble, you know, and there is an audience around. Meaning, like, we got to be, because a lot of times we hide our vulnerability, you know. We hide things that bother us a lot of times. We come with these, you know, things where a man has to look the part, you know, but inside we just hurt. We don't understand why our prayers are falling on deaf ears. And we don't understand why, you know, sometimes we struggle so much on what we're going through and how it really does affect the people and the members that are of the body of Christ. So we hold that stuff and we hold it in our hearts to the point where we may contaminate somebody else and hinder their walk. And it's this thing about manhood, and it's the way that we've been raised sometimes. I mean, some of us, you know, were raised without a father, et cetera, et cetera. And based on that character, we feel like we always got to be hard. We always got to look the part or not present ourselves as if we go through something. But then you kind of see, you know, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you discernment and say, hey, that brother may need an encouraging word, or you may need to say, you know, this to them, et cetera, et cetera. And then at that place, the Holy Spirit knows that the ground is right for him to receive it. And we don't want to go at things prematurely because we don't know how it may affect them. So it's not good to go off of just instinct when we see something wrong and just immediately say something. We probably need to take it in prayer first because we see something. And we don't want to be presumptuous to where we might hurt the person for them to walk away from us. And I think that's the thing where I've noticed, well, myself, and I can't really say for anybody else, but when I was born again, a lot of things that people said didn't hurt me because I was at a state where I wanted to receive, you know, things of God, and I was prepared to receive them and not say that, you know, you hurt me by you telling me something that I need to be doing, or you're holding me accountable according to the word of God. So it was a thing where I wanted to grow, and I didn't mind when people used to give me little nuggets. I used to call them golden nuggets from Christ to help me in my growth in Christ. So I think it's sometimes when people get into certain positions of leadership and those type of things where they forget about being humble because now they know the word, or they've been walking in Christ for so long that you can't really get a word in to tell them anything, you know. And at that point, they kind of, you know, need to be humble, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare the ground before we go to that person. And we take it in prayer first because, let's be honest, when we see a brother or we see somebody doing something that we know that's contrary to the word of God, it grieves us. It grieves us. I've heard people say things sometimes that I know is not in the word of God, but they presented it as if it was in the word of God, and it grieved me. And there's been times that I haven't said anything because I didn't want the conflict sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to break the relationship. I didn't want it to be where, you know, when they see me now, they kind of, oh, here you go, you know. I didn't want it to be like that. So what I begin to do is, and I thank God for my leaders, et cetera, because it grieved me sometimes when I used to hear some things. And I know it was contrary to the word of God. And it wasn't I felt like it was not my place to chastise the person or to come and say, hey, could you explain X, Y, and Z, you know, because I just didn't know how to go about it. So I didn't want to create the conflict or be a part of that problem. And I understood that at that time, that was the enemy telling me not to say something, et cetera, because what I may have said could have helped the person as well. So it's a thing where the Holy Spirit has to deal with us first. Us being men of Christ, we have to totally depend on the Holy Spirit and God's word. There is no, you know, my own understanding. There is no, well, I was raised like this, because believe it or not, the way we was raised is contrary to the word of God too. Somebody hits you, you hit them back. That ain't what the word says. You know.
Okay. Well, all right. What happened to eye for an eye, brother? Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it's like, you know, when you say things, a lot of times a person may say, okay, well, where is this coming from? What did they see me do? And the person already knows. But the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit gives us the timing to do certain things. So it doesn't come off to where they, so then they would change. And just like Nathan, we need that person, an accountability partner, to help us in our growth. We don't need nothing watered down to us, because that's not going to produce any type of conviction. We need it to where it'll push us to change for Christ, not for the person, but for Christ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it comes for that place, it's not me pushing you towards you pleasing me with what you do and what you say. It's about me encouraging you to please Jesus Christ, because ultimately that's who we serve and that's who we obey. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And you said a lot, and I agree. But this is where I believe, you know, the discernment and the wisdom comes into play. And also, I'll say this to the brothers out there listening. You know, we need to do this. We're going to do another show, and we're going to talk about what fellowship means, because right now the church and fellowship, the word has been diluted down. But if we are really in fellowship, in relationship one to another, as believers, as men of God, as believers in Christ, that we have our common denominator is Christ Jesus and his word, and we have a passion and desire to live a life pleasing to him, that's what we have in common. So are we really in fellowship knowing? See, that's where the part where we talk about spiritual maturity and growing in our faith and growing in the grace and the knowledge of God is, are we living life to pursue to be pleasing to him? And in the midst of that, are we pursuing to be in fellowship and to have the real relationships, the real fellowship one to another, where we are looking out for each other's good, and we're showing that love, the love that looks out for the betterment of another. And I just heard that in Bible study the other night. I'm going to use that one. I'll send that sister some money later. But that's what are we growing to that place? You know, are we really building real? Well, are we moving past? Let me say it like this: are we moving past the superficial religion of church, or are we moving to a place where we are in real fellowship, where we have a concern one to another to really love one another and to encourage one another to help people get to the place where they're pleasing to God, where God can use them, where we can grow? Because we all start at a place in our Christian walk. But now are we in an environment that's nurturing us to grow in him? And part of that is, like you said, to be accountable to folk, to be accountable to our pastors. You know, everybody, you know, a lot of folk want to be pastor's friend, but pastor can't tell you nothing. As long as he's your friend, you love him, he's good, until it's time for him to correct you, which is also part of his job description. I'll leave it right there. You know, and then sometimes, because I've watched men of God. You know, I've watched men of God. I know men of God. They can even, you know, there's a difference. I'll say this, and I'll say this, and I'm going to say this out of love, because some pastors, they do it, you know, some do it from the pulpit, and some do it from in one-on-one counseling or in different settings. But, you know, we forget that, I think. We forget what the pastor's job really is when he's pastoring and shepherding a flock of people. Remember, we were all sinners in need of salvation, and the man stands before us willing to help us grow and develop into what Christ has called us to be and to do. And, you know, some people, you know, the pastor's good as long as he ain't dealing with me and my stuff. I'm good with him, but if he tries to tell me something, you know, that's where we're kicking that magic word of church hurt, because the pastor said something to me. Or the leaders, you know, that's good. But again, I pray I pray for maturity in the body of Christ. And I pray, like I said, we're going to talk about fellowship and what it really meant in Scripture and what it should mean for us, even in these times that we're in, this fellowship. Can we depend on one another for the things that's going on? Can we depend on one another for prayer? Can we depend on one another to look out for each other, to encourage each other, and to be able to speak when it's time to speak? When we see, like you said, when we see something or something don't sound right, or even the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will tell us to say something to somebody for a reason, for a season, or engage them in a way where, you know, something's wrong. Because we all know, people that we're connected with, we can tell when something's wrong. Now, how do we want to engage them to give them the opportunity to get it off their chest, to lift that burden from them and take it to God, to pray? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we have to be mindful of that as men of God, especially as men of God, because, brothers, we go through a lot of stuff. And I just pray that every man that's listening has that community and those brothers in his life that he can depend on and reach out to. Amen? Amen. So you listen to It's Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. I'm here with I'm here with Deacon Anthony Lee, and we're just talking a little bit about some of the commandments of God and what God and what Jesus has said to us and how we ought to apply these things to our life and what it looks like. Amen. The next one I want to move to tonight and touch upon is being able to keep my word. And we're going to stay in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse number 37. Going to Matthew chapter 5, it's going to be verse number 37. And the word of God says, oh man, where's my paper at? All right, here we go. Let me get my glasses. Hold on. All right, here we go. 37 says, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I don't think it gets any simpler than that. Let your yes be yes and our no be no. And I think that's one of the things we have to be able to, because, you know, people make oaths, they make promises, they go through a whole lot of acrobats. I swear it, I promise you I'll do this, and I'll whatever. I promise on my mother's grave, on my mother's heart, on my kids. You know, we heard all that before in the world. But in the body of Christ, sometimes we hear the same thing. People want to take oaths and say a whole lot of I call it acrobats so you can believe what they're telling you is true. But their actions are contradictory because you can't find them when they say they're going to be somewhere. And I like Pastor Sharp say, you know, if you ain't there 15 minutes early, you really late. But I'll leave that. So everybody ain't there yet. But in the midst of that, you know, I did our yes be yes, and I know no. And that comes, again, from maturity. Because one of the things, I'll say this to every brother out there, I mean, how long you've been in church or not, sometimes no is the answer. Sometimes it's not a sin in the house of God to say no. Because sometimes that could be opportunity that if you really can't fulfill the thing, the commitment or whatever, then that's opportunity for someone else to be able to step up and step in. And, you know, and again, this God is in control, and we know our lives, but some people, they want to be, you know, they want to be they like the reputation of always being called upon, but they don't consider what the court, they count the cost, but they'll tell you yes, and then they don't do it to the best of their ability. They give God the leftovers. They bring a tainted calf for sacrifice instead of their best, you know, stuff like that. But what do you say, bro? The importance of that reputation. Let now yes be yes and I no be no.
See, you know, the thing is, it's good about that. A lot of times, and there's a difference between the two. But one major thing that really sparks up with that, saying yes and making sure your yay be yay and your nay be nay. See, Satan is the father of lies. I'll let that sink in for a minute. You know,
yeah.
Because, you know, I see, any man being Christ is a new creature. Old things shall pass away, and behold, all things become new. So the thing is that when you practice the old thing, did you really receive the new thing? And I think here is coming from a place of, you got to be honest, not only with yourself, but everybody else. You know, this is basically the foundation of somebody lukewarm and untrustworthy. If you can't keep, you know, and you have to be sure about it sometimes, and even in my life, some things that I may commit to, I committed without even recognizing I had other engagements as well. So it doesn't mean that, you know, intentionally that I did it, right? But the thing is that some people try to put off a lot of things by swearing or taking oaths with people. And the Holy Spirit already knows that you're not going to be able to fulfill it. You know, a lot of people do things in that sense because they want the reputation, or they want the thank you, or they want, you know, they're after something different than what it was truly intended for. So if I tell you yes to something, I'm doing it, it's coming from a different place if I say yay, or it may be coming from a different place if I say no. And like you said, sometimes people shouldn't be so quick to say yes because they don't know the responsibility of what at hand to handle it. And they may not actually be prepared to handle what they say yes to, okay? Now, think about a lot of people who said yes to being a bishop or a pastor or something like that, but they were misled because they thought were something that they weren't called to do. But because there was a different type of opportunity and ambition, you have a lot of people who facilitate the position but leading people astray because they're false prophets. They went after a prophet. And I'm just saying, that's mostly where it comes from in this and what they talk about, and oaths and retaliations and those things, and things that you know, want to swear by anything, and, you know, the communication that you have with one another, you want to make sure that your yay is yay and your nay is nay. But make sure that it's pulled by the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize that enough, because a lot of people promote themselves to do things that God ain't even call them to do. And, you know, as people actually in that web now, because they, even if it's doing something like giving to a person, people feel good giving to a person because they feel better about themselves versus, is this really what God is compelling me to do? Okay.
Amen.
And so, you know, because you can, that could go left real quick. You think you're helping a situation, but actually you made it worse. So instead of the person going to God for something, they're coming to you because your yay is always yay. Instead it should be nay. And it's a thing where now they serve you as being God instead of serving God.
If they see you as a source instead of
right.
They see you as a source, and instead of, they don't recognize God is their source, and God's just using you for a season or a time in their life. But you know, people like you, right? Because that's how people get to that point, and that could be a dangerous place. Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
Yeah, because, you know, it, being able to keep our word, and I think part of that, too, is men of God, it's our reputation, okay? It's really what people think of us. Do we have a good reputation or a bad reputation? Are we of godly character, or are we a character of the evil one? The scripture says, man, what is it? And the scripture, it says it. It says it right here. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So, let's work with Scripture. I'm going to say we're going to work with Scripture. It says anything besides your yes is yes and your no is no, anything else is the evil one. You know, it's sometimes it's like religion. We have a whole lot of religious stuff, don't mean nothing, because it's not really tied to anything, because we're not really are committed, and we're not living in obedience. I think that's the biggest thing we have to do when we talk about abiding and being obedient to Christ. Because it says, like I say, the scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let our yes be yes, and our no is our no. Because if you were a liar, you should stop being a liar. If you was unfaithful, undependable, these are the character traits that as men of God, we can overcome. And it starts with the basics of that is, let my yes be yes and my no be no. And if I do that, if I live that out to please God and to glorify him, because we claim to be Christians and we claim to be of God and men of God, so now all our actions and the things we commit to should glorify him, from the littlest to wherever God puts you. It should all glorify him, and we have to be able to see that as men of God, that the life I live and the choices I make and the things I do should glorify him. And if it's not, we need to check it. We need to examine ourselves. We need to see where we are. And are we living up to the life that God would be glorifying? Because, again, we're going to stand before him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, bro, you know, we got like 10 minutes left here. And I just wanted to, well, hold on. I got some people here. I got a brother here. He didn't press one on his keypad. Let's see if he wants to talk real quick. Hold on 1 minute. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't know if I disturbed you. I was just listening in, but I didn't want to go without acknowledging you on the line here. I see you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing blessed. I'm just enjoying the teaching, man.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I seen your number pop up, and I don't know. You didn't push the. I didn't see the acknowledgement that you wanted to come on, but I just wanted to acknowledge you that you were here. I didn't want to say maybe he don't see my messages or something or whatever. But anyway, Pastor, we appreciate you listening in, and you want to share anything before we go to our wrap up.
Well, actually, you know, I think you all pretty much said what need to be said, you know. It's so true. I just want to read a couple of verses here to line up with what y'all been saying, if I could.
Amen. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And it's in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and I'm going to start from verse 17. The word of God reads, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That ties in with being able to be honest and truthful, to be able to say yes or no. I shared, it's been about a year ago, I was sharing with the body of Christ. I said the hardest word for people to say is a two-letter word, and that's to say no. But there are times that we should say no.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. But again, gentlemen, you've been listening. This is Issue Christian Men's Talk. Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Deacon Anthony Lee and Pastor George Sharp from Jesus Lives Ministry. And hopefully something was said during this segment, through this episode, that would encourage you. Again, these are the commandments. These are the things Christ has called us and who we are that will start to build our character, to be obedient to what he was teaching. He's given these, it's Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And he's preaching, he's teaching on what it is the body of Christ and how we should live and how we should start to renew our minds in the thinking of the things he was teaching and how we should live. So, brothers, I just want to encourage you, you know, to continue to press into the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, and abide in him. Because, again, we're going to stand before him. Each of us is going to stand separately before him and be judged for the life that we live. When we said he was He's our Savior and our Lord. So, brother, I just wanted to encourage you with that. Deacon Anthony Brown, I appreciate you again. Pastor, we appreciate you chiming in and listening in. Deacon Anthony, you can close us out with prayer, bro. You got the closing statement and then close us out in prayer. And I appreciate you again, man.
Amen. I just thank God for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I know God can choose anybody. I just thank God for what he's done in my life, what he's done in my family's lives, through my walk and my brothers and sisters in Christ. Definitely need to reach out to somebody and to be confidential, et cetera. Hey, feel free to reach out to anybody who has a love of Christ on the inside of them. So I thank God for this opportunity. Deacon Farr, I thank you. I love you, my brother. Pastor, I love you. I thank you for your leadership and for your faithfulness to the ministry. Amen. So with that said, I close out in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Father, there's so much that we can say right now, Lord God. So we ask you, Father, the first relationship to reconcile back to you. And help us to be faithful to your word, Lord God, and obey in our hearts, Father. Change us, Father, and prune those things that are not like you that are in our hearts, Father. Help us restore relationships and things that were broken, Father, marriages, Lord God. Father, relationships with children, Lord God. Father, you restore those things, Father, and grow them by your spirit, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, we ask you right now, Father, if there's any brother or sister that's out there, Lord God, listening right now, who is dealing with anything, Father, or going through anything, Father, whether it be drinking or anything that is needed, Father, for them to fulfill what you've called them to do, Father. We bind the hand of the enemy, Father, Father, through a word. So we touch and agree right now, Father. Restore those relationships. Restore, Father, righteousness to them, Father. Let all of us repent of anything, Father, and turn away from things, Father, that once we hear the word and it falls on good ground, Father, let us make a change so that you are glorified in our lives. So we thank you and we praise you right now, Lord God. Father, help this world, Father. Help us to do our part, Lord God, to evangelize, Lord God, to speak the gospel, Father. Give us those opportunities, Lord God, so somebody can cry out, what must I do to be saved? So we thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, brothers. Have a wonderful evening.